Welcome to Ink in Your Veins. I'm your host, Rachel Herron. In this podcast, I talk to authors about the best things they've learned about writing so we can try those things too. I'll keep each episode short so you can get back to writing. Well, hello, writers. Welcome to episode number 438 of Ink in Your Veins. I'm Rachel Herron, and I'm here today with the incomparable, amazing Tiffany Yates Martin, who has been on the show once or twice before. And it is just always such a treat and a delight to get to see her. And she is wrapping up our almost 3 weeks of daily episodes where we've been talking to people about getting unstuck because of my Kickstarter, which as this goes live on probably the 22nd of April, 2024, where you are, there's only a few hours left to pledge. The Kickstarter is closing. So if you haven't pledged and you would like to, please go to rachelherron.com/unstuck and pledge. I am recording this right after I recorded the last one and pre-programming it. So I do not know if we have hit the $19,000 stretch goal or the $20,000 stretch goal. $19,000 is for the stretch goal is a launch party with me where we will talk about packing and packing light. Talk about travel, one of the best ways of getting unstuck. $20,000 is where me and my sister sing California Stars, which I talk about singing with my sisters in the book Unstuck in kind of a magical moment. And so that would be coming. You would be getting that song. And I don't know if we've hit it. You can find out if we've hit it if you're listening to this after the afternoon or evening of April 22nd, 2024, in most of the world, April 23rd, where I live in New Zealand. You'll be able to know what the Kickstarter closed at, but I don't know yet because I'm speaking to you from the past and I'm very excited to see where it lands. And in any case, wherever it lands, I'm so grateful for everything that it has done and for the way that it has moved and danced and for the way that we have been able to talk to people about getting unstuck. It has truly been such an honor to be able to do this with people that I care about and respect. So on that note, thank you for supporting. I'm sure I'll be in your ears later this week on a regularly scheduled podcast. We'll go back to normal after this, but it sure has been fun having this kind of party, hasn't it? And I will let you know how everything goes, how everything shakes out. We will be updating. I will have a Kickstarter lessons learned kind of thing coming up. Thank you for being here. Now, please enjoy me talking to Tiffany about stuckedness. All right, here we go. I'm so glad you're here. I am so thrilled to welcome my friend to the show again. Will you please share your name and your pronouns with us?
Tiffany Yates Martin, she, her.
So excited, Tiffany. It's really, this is just an excuse to talk to people I adore. Here is your bio, though, for people who may have missed you on the, have you been on the show twice? I believe twice.
I think so, yeah.
If you Google it, it'll come up. I should have looked up the numbers. I didn't. Because it's more important to talk about Tiffany. Tiffany Yates Martin has, for the last 15 plus years, developmentally edited authors on titles by New York Times, USA Today, Washington Post, and Wall Street Journal, best-selling and award-winning authors, as well as indie published and newer writers, because she's not a snob. She's led editing and writing workshops all over the US, and her incredible book, Intuitive Editing, A Creative and Practical Guide to Revising Your Writing, is a comprehensive, actionable, accessible guide for writers on how to edit their own work. She also writes women's fiction for Penguin as Phoebe Fox, and you can find her at foxprinteditorial.com. Welcome, Tiffany, you pretty, pretty thing.
I'm so happy to see you.
You just look fab. People mostly don't watch this on the YouTube, but if they do, you've got an incredible backdrop of orange behind you and green vines coming down and books. And right there, right smack dab in the middle, is Intuitive Editing. And we have talked about that on the show, so we won't go into it here. But you are the most divine when it comes to talking about editing and revising.
Thank you. It's my favorite thing to nerd out over.
And we have nerded out about it, and we will continue to nerd out about it. And I think that's why we connected so deeply. First time we ever chatted.
Yeah.
Today, however, let's talk about editing in a different way. Editing our lives. I would love to know, because as you know, I'm pushing the Kickstarter of Unstuck, and talking about the times where we got stuck usually because it was something we did because we wanted something and we went after it and we got there. And then we said, oh no, what have I done? What do I do now? Can you please talk to us about a time where this may have happened to you?
Yes. First of all, I can't wait to read Unstuck because I think you know I have been just vicariously living through you since you made this move.
And I keep trying to get you over here.
I don't think I knew that you went from that place of feeling stuck. I think I just felt like, oh, you were ready for a change and you had the access to it. And so why not? So I'm really looking forward to reading it. And because it resonates, because like you said, I think a lot of us get to stuck places in our lives just because I think you get wherever you're maybe trying to get or don't even, you know, you just fall into a rut and then you have to remember to take a look around sometimes and go, is this where I want to be still?
Right.
Exactly. Or is this where I wanted to be in the first place?
Exactly.
Mine was sort of the former because I started as an actor. From the time I could move my feet and my mouth, I was an actor. And it's all I ever thought I would do. So I pursued it all through school. And then I decided to pursue it professionally. And I moved to New York City. And at this point, I had been doing it a long time. Probably it's how I started in editing, actually. I was acting and didn't want to be a waiter forever. So I realized that I could take my English degree and copy edit. So I worked for a lot of the Big Six in New York, which also gave me the freedom to do regional theater and maintain the lifestyle I wanted to maintain without having to wait tables. So at any rate, I had been copy editing for about 10 years at this point. I was in my early 30s, but I'd been acting for my life. And that was at that point what I thought was going to continue to be my life. But
it was your identity, I'm sure. It wasn't just your life, but it was who you were as a person, right?
Yeah, I think it was. It's funny because I look back now and it just feels foreign to me. But at the time, yeah, it was who I was. I remember, this is a dumb story. I had a very bad car accident and it split my head open. And so luckily there was a plastic surgeon on call that night when he came to the hospital. And I looked, the first thing I said to him for showing up in the middle of the night was not thank you, but I'm an actor. Please don't leave a scar.
That is iconic. 100% iconic.
Bless him. So at any rate, so yes, that's how profoundly I was an actor. But yeah. I was increasingly unhappy in New York. And when I tend to be pretty good about getting unstuck for the most part, because I will sort of start to logically think, okay, how can I approach it like an editor? What is the problem? How do I diagnose that problem? Yes. What do I need to do to address that problem? So for months and months, I would go through everything I could think of. Is it that I'm not working, you know, in my field at the moment regularly enough? Is it that I lost my agent? Is it that I don't want to live in this part of town? Do I not want to be in New York anymore? And I just kept thinking of things. Was also temping at the time at an ad agency. And I remember sitting at the ad agency one day and just Rolodexing through any cause it could be. And just as the stupidest thing I could think of, I was like, do I need to quit acting? And I started smiling and I couldn't stop. Like literally my face just became taken over by it. And I thought, I remember so clearly just thinking, oh no. Because
but
I knew.
It's a delicious oh no, because you're also on that rise of the oh no, but with the smile on your face.
Apparently it was good at the core, but I honestly had no idea what else I was going to do at the time. I didn't think I could turn editing into something like I've turned it into. And I didn't even know if I wanted to at that time. And I just knew I was through with the thing I thought I'd never be through with. And it was a smile because I knew I'd hit on it. And I guess deep down, I was like, okay, moving to the next stage. But at the, no pun intended. But at the time, I just remember thinking, that's it. Like, I'm done. And I was done in that moment. I had one more show slated to do in Florida. So I was like, well, you know, Florida in the winter for 2 months, I'll do that.
Yeah.
And I never set foot on a stage again after that. Wow. And I have never missed it once. Like we go to the theater now and I miss the world, or I'll watch, you know, behind the scenes shows where they show the set. I loved being on a set. I love the people. I love the world of acting. I love theater. But there is zero part of me that ever wants to be in the spotlight again. Just like
you,
that.
Once this kind of broke through your psyche or your subconscious, it sounds like maybe your subconscious was throwing everything else at you that it could be until it offered that little tidbit up. But so would you say that you really never had any grief about it? You were just like, you
never
were
had any
perhaps
grief.
nonplussed, but.
Yes, but no grief, but no plan either. So I knew I was done with the one thing, but I didn't know what the next Tarzan vine I was going to grab and swing on was going to be. So thus began a period of experimentation, Rachel, where I worked in casting for a while in New York because I knew I still loved the world.
Yeah.
Looking back, I realized I probably should have been a producer because that's how my brain works, but I didn't think about that. So I tried casting and it wasn't for me, but I got to be a part of casting a Broadway show and that was super cool.
Oh my gosh, yes.
But it also, boy, if I hadn't already quit acting, I would have quit at that point. Just hearing the things that were said in that room between talent coming in, I was like, oh my God, it's worse than I
And I thought it
thought.
was bad.
Oh my God. And so then I decided, after I went to Florida, I was like, well, this is pretty special. I'll move here. So I did that for a while and I started. I'd always written also, but I never thought to make a career out of it. And then I started working as a journalist, and I did that for a number of years and became a regular columnist for our Scripps Howard paper in two of the towns down there and a bunch of other freelancing and kept expanding the copy editing and then decided to move to Austin and was still copy editing, but I let the journalism go then because that was when newspapers crashed. And I was like, well, gosh, now what? Because I knew copy editing wasn't enough. Writing, I love, but it's not my main passion. And that was when I started developmental editing. And that was, I mean, so far, you know, who's to say I won't have another epiphany moment one day? But so far, you know, it's funny. I use that question a lot, like, is this still something I want to be doing? To just sort of evaluate where I am in life. And every time I ask that question about this job, there is no hesitation. Like, I love what I'm doing now, for now, and I know that can change.
Just like there was no hesitation in that realization when you heard it's not acting anymore, you just knew. We feel
But I
it.
think we have to ask ourselves the question, and we
We do.
don't.
Yeah, exactly.
We go on autopilot.
I wonder if it is, I'm just spitballing now, but I'm wondering if it is a thing about people who love to revise and who think about editing a lot. If that question just comes more easily to us, because there is a point in
That's funny.
Unstuck, and I'm not intentionally pushing the book right now, but there is a point right before we move where we're sitting outside our house. A couple of friends have dropped over to pick up old yard furniture. We're about to stage the house. Everything is almost out of the house, and we're trying to chat, but I'm losing my mind in my head. My sister says it's like I'm possessed. And then as we're all chatting and Lala is showing her Instagram photo to a friend, I say, Lala, if you want a divorce, now's the time. Do you? But I was so serious. I was like, this would be a great time. Like, do you still
Oh
want to
my
stay
God,
together?
why?
Because we're liquid. We're going to sell the house. Like, this house is not sold yet, but as soon as it sells, we have no debt. We've gotten rid of the cars. Everything is in a check. We're going to have a check. It would be a great time to break up if you want to break up. And she was
But
like,
what
no.
made you say that?
Because it was that, let's ask the question.
Okay.
It just happened to be a really awkward time to do it in front of a few friends and my sister who just thought,
Yeah.
like, they were like, do we have to leave? No, but both of us looked at each other and like, no, I'd love to stay together. Let's keep doing this. This is great. And then I could
Oh.
take a deep breath. But we do forget to ask those big questions. Do we? And it wasn't. It was just a darling moment where she just looked at me and said, no, I'm good. I'd like to stay together. We don't have to split our
She didn't go, why do you ask?
split the money. I think perhaps she's used to me asking those questions. And that is a thing that we have even talked about on, I know that you recently celebrated an anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Lucky
And we
13,
recently
thank you.
celebrated our 18th. And
Ooh, congrats.
it is another thing. It is another thing that I do like to bring up, even on our anniversaries. So you want to go for one more? And my intention is always, I hope we both say yes. And so far we
You know,
have.
okay, this is probably one of the reasons we vibe. So every year on our anniversary, we have a similar routine that stemmed from actually a hilarious thing where someone we knew after we got engaged met him, someone I knew. Met him and said, took me aside and said, I really like him. And I'm like, oh, I really like him too. And she said, I hope it works out. And I went, I hope it does too. you know, we were engaged. So every single year on our anniversary, we go, so far it's working out for me as part of our ritual. But yes, what I love about that is kind of what you're saying. It is like we put in our wedding vows, I choose you today. I choose you every day. I choose you for the rest of my life. But I do think that the commitment, any commitment, means more if you allow yourself to consider whether you still choose to be there or you just feel like you have to be there.
That is exactly it. We did the same exact thing because both of us, neither of us really had strong feelings about marriage when we got married. But my thing was like, I am marrying you forever unless we get divorced, you know. And I don't ever want to get divorced. So far it's working out. And I think like you, we say these things in jest. And if she ever turned to me and said, no, we actually really need to talk, I would not be laughing about it. I'd be crying and we'd be in therapy and all of those things. But even if we ask it in jest or say it in jest, it's opening the space for it, which to me feels healthy and safe and a little bit dangerous, but also good.
All those things.
Yeah. And but to go back to you leaving acting, one thing that keeps coming up on the show while we've been talking to people about this unstuckedness is you created the vacuum. You created a space and perhaps you didn't do that intentionally. You didn't say, well, I think I'll open a space and I'll walk forward and see what enters it. But I think you did. You didn't open a space and said, I'm now going to fill it by becoming a producer or by becoming a developmental editor. What do you think about opening vacuums like that?
I am a big fan of leap and the net will appear.
Hell yes.
I mean, I'm also, this is weird because I'm also an incredibly careful, risk averse person does lots of research, but, you know, I've moved around a lot and I do it just because I'm like, you know, what might be fun? I wonder if Austin might be fun. I'm going to try that. And that's my version of leap in the net will appear. I still do research on, you know, demographics, cost of living, all the practical things. But I trust that if I make a change or do a thing, I will figure out how to swim once I dive in. I wonder, lately, because we're talking about maybe not being in Austin forever, and it did take me time to build a very rich social network we now have here that means a lot to me. And I think about, I wonder, I don't think I feel this way, but I wonder if there comes a time where as you get older, you have less flexibility in that way. I hope not, because I do think it's fun. I do think it's fun to just go, I wonder what would happen if I tried this thing.
I wonder the exact same thing. I keep thinking that. I am 50, almost 52. And I keep thinking, could I do this again at 62? Would I want to do it at 72? And
yeah, is there a cutoff? I wonder that too.
Is there a cutoff? And I'm going to say health, provided that health is intact, mental health facilities are intact. Yeah. I'm going to say we can still do this. We can keep doing this because we have been practicing it.
And because we think we can. Like, I think when we start to calcify is when we expect to calcify.
Yes.
Sometimes I hear myself say things like, you know, I'll be stiff one morning, I'm 56, and I'll go, oh my God, I'm getting old. And then I think, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, like that's the first step toward feeling it.
I never
deny reality because I recognize that I am aging.
Yes.
But I don't think we have to accept that, okay, now these things have to happen and you have to sort of freeze in place because of where you are in life.
Exactly. I have a friend who says it, who has been saying that she's too old to do things since she was about 34. And she's been meaning it. And she doesn't do much. Like, and I have given myself permission to call myself old when I'm 80.
Okay, 80's fair. I mean, although 80 my mom is 85 and she is still RVing across the country with her husband.
I just got married. To not call myself. Did she just get married?
I married her. Like, I literally performed the ceremony. How cool is that?
Wow.
That is very beautiful. Special. She's been with him for 21 years, which here's another one, get unstuck. This one day she just looked at him and she said, do you think we should get married after 21 years? And he's like, and he just smiled and went, yes, I do.
but that means she fell in love with him in her 60s, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet. Oh, that's a nice kind of person to come from. That's a nice kind of apple to drop from.
Well, I guess now that we're saying this out loud, I'm realizing that, and it's funny because she is not the sort of peregrine falcon that I am as far as wanderlust, but I see that some of that leap in the net will appear comes from, I guess, my mom.
Oh, that's beautiful. I think now that we're talking about it, I must get that from my parents too, because they were always like that. Let's move across overseas. Let's move to Saipan. Let's move.
Wow.
And you just go. And I watched them do it without knowing how it would work. And it worked.
It was because if you know too much, you're going to stop yourself from doing it, I think. Because there are always really valid challenges.
Yes. Yes. And I will find the challenges and I will worry about them at 3 a.m.
Exactly. And yeah. I will doubt whether I can handle it. And yet if I am facing them and I am forced to do it, I will do it.
So what would be one single little tiny piece of advice for somebody who has perhaps heard in their mind, I think I shouldn't do this anymore. I think I need to get unstuck. What would be a little bit of Tiffany advice be?
I think, you know, it's tricky because sometimes we may make precipitous decisions that may not be the right thing. But for me, it's always been ask the question, and it's not an intellectual question at that point for me. Like the smile came from my gut. I did not control that. And that's how I knew it was right. If my brain had said, well, that does feel like the right answer, I don't know if that would have felt as incontrovertible to me.
Yeah.
So I guess that crystallizes down to the really cliched advice to trust your gut. Ask yourself the question and notice what it makes you feel, because I think that's the best barometer.
That's always my best barometer. My brain and my heart will lie and argue and have fights and then make up and cuddle on the couch forever. But the gut just does its own thing and it like just throws a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
It just flips the switch and you either yes or no. You like you said, thumbs up, thumbs down. But you have to be listening for it. And I think it's easy for us to get out of touch with that. I have made a practice most of my life of letting it weigh in. So I think I'm pretty open to it. I think we might have to learn that if we have stifled it.
Beautiful, beautiful answer, Tiffany. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Where can we find you? Where's the best place to come after you?
Oh, just come to foxprinteditorial.com. That's where everything is. There's a bunch of free resources for authors, and that's where you can find how to connect with me also.
And do sign up for this newsletter, y'all, because you are one of those people that I try to be and love to follow. You give it all away.
Oh, thank you.
If you figure something out, you give it away. You say, here's how it works. And this is how I've found that this works well for many people. Why don't you try this? So, yeah.
Thanks. But
you're amazing, Tiffany. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you.
I adore you. I cannot wait to read this. You are such an inspiration in every way, but particularly this way. And honest to God, your and Lala's move is part of what my husband and I are kind of opening up a door in our minds going, is Austin where we want to be forever? So thank you for that. We'll see how it goes.
Well, in Wellington, you'd have a built-in friend. So I'm just throwing it out there. You can move to Wellington.
Don't make it look sucky.
Okay, we'll talk soon. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of Ink in Your Veins. You can reach me at my website, rachelherron.com, and you can also support me at patreon.com/Rachel, RACHAEL, where I have all sorts of great stuff for writers for as little as $1 a month. And do sign up for my free writer's email list of encouragement at rachelherron.com/write. Now, get to writing, my friends.